Simon Peter, an apostle of Christ, a study that began when Simon Peter was called along the seashore. And we've gone through some of the Gospels, John, Luke, mostly in Luke, some in Matthew, some in Mark, and some we've gone through some of Acts, looking at the different points where our Lord has shown us the trials and the things, the blessings that our brother Peter has gone through before he comes to his letter of 1 Peter. And that's where we are now this morning. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, we began 2 weeks ago in this letter of 1 Peter chapter 1, and we considered the ones that Peter is addressing this letter to in verse 2, where it says the elect, God's people who were scattered throughout, as we saw in verse 1, strangers, God's children, who were scattered throughout the world at that time, also throughout the world and all times following after that. This is a letter to all of God's people. This is a letter to you and I. Those of us who are scattered about in foreign lands, we are strangers in this land that we walk in, this land that we used to think we were a part of, but now we have come to the Lord has brought us to the knowledge that we are not of this land. We are of the eternal land. We are of the land of God called heaven. We're just traveling through, folks. This is really not much time when you really think about it. You know, this country's been around for over 200 years. It's been 2,000 years since our Lord walked this earth. To you and I, it just is an infathomable time ago, isn't it? Look at all the stuff that's gone on and happened in between. Look at all the stuff that happened this last week.
Amen.
But yet, it really is just a wisp of time, a flower that grows up and withers, just like Scripture says it is. We walk through this valley of the shadow of death. We are people who our only peace, our only comfort is in our King, in our Captain, our Sovereign of all creation. And His name is Jesus Christ, the Lord. Today I'd like to spend a little time considering this phrase, this statement that Peter makes in verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. It seems like as soon as we got to this letter, and I kind of had been looking at it a little bit in advance before we got to it, as I was anticipating, well, you know, we're still here in the book of Acts, but Peter's right around the corner, just going to be another week or two away. And then when I got here, I was like, well, I knew it was going to happen. It just slowed down. All of a sudden, boom. We're on our third message already, and we haven't even gotten past verse 2. There's some really good stuff in this letter. Today, I'd like to spend a little time looking at that very phrase, sanctification of the Spirit. Read with me, if you would, verses 1 and 2 once again of Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, strangers, God's people, that we read in verse 1. Scattered, as it says. In other words, throughout all times and all. And then it says elect, which is the chosen of God. God's people. According to the foreknowledge, the knowledge of the one who has known all things from the beginning to the end. He actually declares himself to be the Alpha and the Omega of all things in Revelation chapter 1, which we will probably look at in our message that's coming for the Lord's table. But through sanctification of the Spirit, what does this mean? Well, first I want to take note of this word Spirit. Look at our text there where it says Spirit. Did you notice that it was capitalized? Isn't that rightly so? Everything of God should be capitalized because God becomes is come before anything. Notice the capitalization. This word means divine breath or wind. In John 3 verse 8, we read this, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Sanctification of the Spirit. Next, the word sanctification is used two ways in scriptures. One way it means to be set aside or separated from the rest. But in this case, the word means to be made holy, properly meaning to purify, to be put in a state of purity. And taking this meaning with the proper use of the Spirit, we see one of deity. The Spirit is the author of this being made holy. In other words, we see perfectly in God's word here that it is not being made holy by making a decision. It is not being made holy by getting up and going down to the front of the aisle. It's not being made holy by getting into a pool of water that people call baptism. It's not being made holy by anything, but by the Spirit of God Himself. And we see this throughout Scripture, all throughout, that it as that salvation is of the Lord and not of man. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. You know what that means? That means it's not of your free will that you think you have, because your will is not free. It's bound by the sin that is in your body. Or at least it was until the Lord loosed you. And if the Lord will make you free, you shall be free indeed. It is not by your works. That's what the word runneth means, by something that you can do. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I have so many things in my Bible this morning that I have so many marks that I'm going to lose myself, I'm afraid. Sanctification, being used as made holy, is only found in the New Testament, and it is used four times, and every time it is a divine work. Look with me, if you would, at verses 29 through 31 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 29 through 31. "That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Clearly we see here, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption is in and only in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Christ is our sanctification. Our sanctification is of him in Christ Jesus. That's what it says in verse 30. It is of him, God the Father, but only in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our holiness is only in him. We have none of our own, but what a holiness we have. It's perfect. If it's of the Lord Jesus Christ, could it be anything less? I tell you this morning that if you think your Jesus could have anything less than perfect and perfection, you do not know the Lord Jesus of Scripture. God is not waiting around for you and I to do something. He's not waiting for us to make something happen. He makes things happen. He rules it all. Our holiness is in His Son. We have none of our own, but we have a perfect and pure holiness in Him. It's untainted with sin, for He knew no sin. For we are washed in Him. Our wisdom, our knowledge of truth is of Him and in Him. And I don't want to trust my understanding on this. I don't want to trust anything of myself. I only want to trust Him. Listen to the words of John Gill. in regards to these, this scripture we just read. Christ is the sanctification of his people through the constitution of God, the imputation of holiness of his nature, the merits of his blood, and the efficacy of his grace. He is so federally and representatively, he is their covenant head. And he has all covenant grace in his hands for them. And so the whole stock and fund of holiness, which is communicated to them in all ages until the perfection of it in every saint, this is the sanctification of Christ, which differs from sanctification in them in these things. In him, it is as the cause. In them, it is the effect. In him, it is as a fountain. In them, it is a stream. In him, it is complete. In them, it is imperfect for the present time. And they have it by virtue of union with him. Sanctification in Christ can be of no avail to any unless it is derived from him, to them. So that this sanctification in Christ does not render the sanctification of the Spirit unnecessary, but it includes it and it secures it. Now, if you didn't understand what I was reading there, basically John Gill is saying what I said a moment ago. It's all through the Spirit of God who brings us to Christ, and it's because Christ, what Christ has done for us. Now, if you would turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, right there before Hebrews. Here we have a clear declaration of the work of the Holy Spirit. Our being made holy is in the work of Christ the Son, yet it is applied or worked into usward. And again, it's by the preaching of the gospel. The Spirit of God sets his chosen people apart from the world of the dead by giving life where there was none, and moving upon the new heart, turning it as it pleases him. It is through the Spirit that we receive the gift of faith. Look with me, if you would, at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. But we are bound to give thanks all the way to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that the Spirit of God moves upon the people of God. Christ Jesus called out to Lazarus with the power of God. The Spirit of God had to give life to that dead body so that dead body would hear the Lord's word called out unto him. I wait for a moment because I want that to sink in, because that's exactly what happened to each and every one of us. Through the preaching of the gospel, our Lord sent the Spirit of himself, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, into the hearts of his people to hear that word preached. Listen to the words of Henry Mahan on this verse. Lest these believers should be discouraged and fearful of their security in Christ because of his account of the Antichrist and his followers, which is what Paul was talking about there in the beginning of verse chapter 2. We see these words where Paul writes, I thank God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. And it's only because, writes Mahan, it's only because of the grace of God that we do not perish with the apostates. Thank God that he first loved us, as we read in 1 John 4:10, here in his love, that we love God. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be our propitiation for our sins. We also read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. So this is what Paul is talking about. Those who are beloved of the Lord. God chose you, he says, from the beginning to salvation. Again, Henry Mahan writes, we were elected to salvation in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's what we read in Ephesians chapter 1. Before the foundation of the world, predestined to be to the adoption of the children of Christ. But then it says, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the gospel. Election is not salvation, but unto salvation. Those elected must be regenerated, born again, called by the Holy Spirit to genuine repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus. Faith is not something we just conjure up. According to the words of Ephesians, our Lord says it is a gift of Him, not of our works, lest we should boast. Those elected must be regenerated, born again, called to the Holy Spirit to a genuine repentance. The Holy Spirit is the agent, and the Word of God is the seed, instrument, or foundation of faith. There is a threefold sanctification of a believer. Set apart by the Father. This is what we read in Jude chapter 1, verse 1. To them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus and called. Those that are made holy and unblameable by Christ. We read these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. To them that are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints. And then the third one is then to be regenerated and perfectly sanctified by the Spirit and the Word. That's what we're reading here in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And then we read, don't forget verse 14, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's consider one more section of Scripture before we go to break. Turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 to the right, just before 1 Peter. Hebrews chapter 10. With me, we're at verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Now again, I'm going to read for you from this commentary of Pastor Henry Mahan. Here is the sum of it all, he writes. Here is the gospel of redemption in one verse. By the which will. That is, in other words, by the will, the purpose, the design of the Heavenly Father, eternally decreed, we are redeemed. Listen to the words of John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In Romans 9:15, we read these words, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. In Ephesians 1, verse 5, we read this, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Do you see by whose will it is? By the which will? Secondly, we read in that very same verse, we are sanctified. Pastor Henry Meehan writes, sin is put away. We are holy and accepted by God. Listen to the words of Ephesians 1 verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Folks, God can't accept us unless we're holy. And there isn't anything holy in this flesh that you see before you or in the flesh that you see when you look in the mirror. But there is a perfect holiness in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which is ours. He who knew no sin was made sin, that we would be made righteous, the righteousness of God in Him. Next we read in that very verse, through the offering of the body of Christ. Again, Pastor Mahan writes, his human body was offered on the cross. His blood was shed. He died for our sins. Listen to the words of Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The fourth point we see in this verse we've just read is once for all. One atonement. One sacrifice. One offering. Perfect. For all time. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 21, which we will get to it quite some time later, so I don't have a problem reading with it this morning. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Listen to these words in Hebrews 9, verse 26 through 28. For then must he often have suffered, speaking of since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin for the sacrifice of himself, and at it, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now close, if you would, reading 11 through 17. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering sometimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore, whereof, the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them, after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them, and will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, what wonderful mercy and grace that our God would make us holy. And he does it by the Spirit of himself. Stand with me.